Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are a single heterosexual man listening to my show right now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that men always have to be the pursuers of women? Do you believe that only men who are wealthy, famous celebrities, and professional athletes are the only men who can get women to pursue them? Do you believe that you have to be super-duper handsome and have the physique of a Greek god in order to attract high-quality women? Many men are walking around society today believing that they are just not good enough to attract high-quality women and do not quite measure up to most women's standards. My guest this evening believes that most men sell themselves short, and if they were to adopt a few new beliefs, some new attitudes, and make a handful of key changes here and there, that they would see their ability to attract hot women improve significantly. These men would even notice that most of the women will begin to pursue them. Who is this man who knows what adjustments single men need to make both physically and psychologically to provoke women to find them more romantically and sexually desirable? His name is Brent Smith. And tonight, Brent is going to share some of the knowledge and wisdom from his popular ebook entitled Attract Hotter Women, The Lazy Man's Way to Be More Successful with Women, as Mr. Smith takes time out of his schedule in order to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in their race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Baby, don't let me know how it's gonna go.
wish I could hold you tight and take a flight out the hood. Was I foul or just misunderstood? My mannered or up to no good? It really doesn't matter, either way I should maximize the moment and hold you close. Jump in the drop spider and cruise down the coast. Who loves you the most? I was never ghost when lives was on the line. Confusion in your mind, running out of time, drama of all kinds. But there's faith in our mind, we spiritually inclined. Sometimes I flip, sometimes you flip. Sometimes we wild out and act like lunatics. We moving too fast, the whole world's in a rush. Everybody just hush.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Up Front and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 1st. Can you believe that the first 4 months of 2014 are over? Wow. I can't. Man, there's a thing, man. When you get older, there's what's called the time quickening effect. And, yeah, time just seems to just go faster and faster and faster. I mean, I remember New Year's Day of 2014, like literally like it was 2 days ago. And now 4 months, one third of this year is gone. Now, in the Chicagoland area, the weather is still feeling like February, March type weather. But, you know, it's May. It's time for it to be 70s, 80s on a regular basis. Already I see my number one most loyal listener in my chat room, Adrian, Diva362636. I see Jazz Kaz in my chat room. We're going to have a good show today. I got a fellow professional dating coach, life coach, and we're going to chop it up. You know, every dating coach, a lot of us dating coaches, because I'm one, in case you don't know, I'm a professional dating coach. And there's some beliefs and attitudes and philosophies that I would say we all tend to share, you know, like having the confidence to approach women, et cetera. Then each dating coach usually has one or two philosophies that are unique to themselves, that kind of, you know, separate them from. And anyway, my guest tonight, his particular niche is he doesn't really believe in men aggressively pursuing women. He believes that if you follow his advice, that you will put yourself in a position for women to start pursuing you, which is what a lot of men want. I've frequently commented on the fact that what's his name? George Clooney, who recently got engaged. Congratulations to George Clooney. He said he would never, ever get married again. But George Clooney, I use a quote of his at a lot of my workshops. He basically said that over half the reason he wanted to be a rich, famous celebrity was so he wouldn't have to approach women. He admitted that in a Playboy interview. He said he wanted women to approach him, to pursue him. And I think a lot of men tend to feel like the only way you are going to get a woman to approach you is if you're some type of rich, famous celebrity, you know, professional athlete, or at bare minimum some super-duper, exquisitely handsome guy. But my guest tonight said that's not true. So I can't wait to hear him share his knowledge and wisdom and thoughts and beliefs and attitudes with my listeners, particularly my single heterosexual male listeners. Now, Adrienne's, you know, she's in my chat room, and she's excited because her team, Miami Heat, ho-hum, were the first ones to sweep in the playoffs, ho-hum. I think somebody's going to upset Miami between now and the NBA championship. I think somebody's going to upset them. I would love to see the Heat and the Spurs go at it again. I want a rematch of last year. I want a rematch because that was one of the best finals I've ever seen in my life, even though my favorite team wasn't in there. But that was a good-ass series right there, was the Heat and Spurs were literally like something like a minute, 2 minutes away from winning their fifth championship, and the Heat just took over in game six and won it, man. That was, ooh, man. I know the Spurs had a hard summer. They had a hard, no, Diva said it was 28 seconds. They were 28 seconds away from their fifth NBA championship, and the Heat stole them. Do you guys remember? You would have to be a serious college basketball fan to remember this. But there was a game against Stanford and Georgia, and Georgia was coach, God, what was his name? Now it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. He used to coach UCLA, and then he went to Georgia. Somebody in the chat room help me out. But, man, that had to be one of the funniest post-game interviews ever. Because similar to that Game 6 between Miami and San Antonio, I'm sure we've all seen games where one opponent thought they had the game won, but they made the mistake of celebrating too early. And in this particular NCAA game, Georgia had something like, I don't know, I want to say like a 9-point lead with like maybe a minute and a half to go. And they were already like hugging each other on the bench and celebrating. And Stanford came back and first tied it, and I want to say sent it into overtime. Then in overtime, Stanford won. And the guy who was the coach of Georgia, he had this classic phrase that they kept playing over and over again at the time. They was like, I can't remember his name. Let's say his name was George. They were like, Coach George, what did you think about that heartbreaking loss? He said, my boys, they played their hearts out, right? And they put all their effort. They left everything on the floor. And then those guys at Stanford, they came and just ripped their hearts out. They ripped their hearts out. Man, me and my brother were cracking up. I mean, it was one of the things where it was funny, but you felt bad for him. But I just remember him saying, they ripped their hearts out. They ripped their hearts out. They left everything on the floor, and those Stanford guys ripped their hearts out. No, that wasn't what I was looking for. What I'm doing with the applause? I'm supposed to see. I get mixed up here, and that's the one.
Alan, you stupid.
Anyway, that you wouldn't remember. Any of you young people wouldn't remember that game because this was like in the, I want to say like the mid to late '90s or something like that. But it was just funny, but. But it just shows, you know, you cannot, if you don't care if it's basketball, baseball, football, whatever, you cannot celebrate before the game is actually over. Like, what was that? Just a few years ago in the World Series, somebody did that. Texas was up something like 3-2, and all they needed to do was get one more strikeout. All they needed to do was get one more strikeout. And they were celebrating, and they not only ended up losing Game 6, but then they ended up losing Game 7, losing the series. It was just – speaking of sports, I think we all know what's been dominating the media the last few days, and that's Donald Sterling, owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, and what he said – to his side bitch girlfriend, Vivian Stiviano, and he said that he didn't want her associating, taking pictures with black people and bringing black people to the game. Because basically he knew she was fucking brothers. I mean, keeping it real. He knew she was fucking brothers. And I guess he didn't want his peers and colleagues to look down on him because he was fucking around with a woman that was fucking brothers. Now, I'm a do something that's going to cause some people to dislike me or at least disagree with me. If there's one area I defend Donald Sterling, most people expect no black person to defend him in any way, shape, or form, but he has the right to say what the fuck he want to say in his home, really anywhere. So in terms of just the right to be outspoken, I mean, shoot. I'm sure we've all said some shit in the privacy of our own homes that we probably wouldn't repeat in public, although I'm such a straightforward motherfucker. Most shit I say privately, I say publicly anyway. You know, so as far as just the right of what he had to say, he had the right, like some people were acting like he didn't have the right to say what he had. No, he had the right to say what the fuck he had to say. But this is what I always tell people. You have the right to say anything you want to in this society. That's what free speech is. Like in some countries, you can't say certain things or you'll be thrown in jail. So you have the right to say anything in terms of when it comes to legal consequences, you have the right to say any fucking thing you want to say in this country. Now, here's the downside. Even if you don't experience any legal consequences, there are social consequences. There are social consequences to saying certain things. I mean, I cannot just go out in the middle of the street and yell out, I hate all gay people. I won't get arrested for saying that, but you better believe people would be like, you know, picketing and saying, don't listen to Alan Roger Curry's show. He hates all homosexuals. So, you know, on a business level and on a social level, there's always going to be consequences when you speak, when you're very outspoken and say something that people don't like. I mean, if you're a Christian, look at Jesus Christ. He was the most outspoken person to walk the earth, and they killed him. You know, Martin Luther King was outspoken. He got shot. John F. Kennedy was outspoken. He got shot. when you're outspoken, you know, people will give you credit for being outspoken, but a lot of times, at maximum, you get killed. At minimum, you know, like Don Sterling, you get forced to sell your team. So, you know, what can you do? The thing I say, and a lot of people have already said it, he should have been criticized and admonished way before this ever happened. I mean, this man was denying black people and Hispanics housing. That's way worse than telling his girlfriend that she don't want them fucking brothers. You know, he was denying people housing, and nobody says shit. So, you know, in the NAACP Los Angeles chapter, shame on you. Yes, I'm saying it. Alan Roger Curry, I'm quote me on this. Los Angeles chapter at NAACP, shame on you. Want to excuse him because he's setting up grants for your organization. Man, get the fuck out of here with that shit. Anyway, on a more lighter note, I got to give some kudos to my guest from 2 weeks ago. My guest from 2 weeks ago, Sabrina Rogers Anderson. It's funny. I don't want to get go into too much detail over the backstory, but we actually kind of, I don't want to say. Before that interview, we kind of had a difference of opinion because, you know, I had heard some of her previous interviews and she came across as kind of very conservative, kind of real serious and formal. And I told her basically that she could not come on my show being all, you know, uptight and, you know, formal and shit. And she was like, no, I'm a professional and blah, 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 blah. And I told her, now I ain't trying to take all the credit, but I did tell her, I said, you know, you got to come on my show and be kind of lighthearted and free-spirited. And sure enough, do you know now her show was downloaded like crazy. She actually, as of last night or early this morning, she took over the number one spot from Kezia Noble. I don't know if you remember when I had Kezia Noble on 2.5 years ago. But for the last 2.5 years, the most listened to episode of mine with a female guest was Kezia Noble, who's one of the top female dating coaches. She's based in London. She's considered, if not the number one, one of the top female professional dating coaches. And, yeah, she had the most listened to episode of any show I had with a female guest up until last night / this morning. Sabrina, who I just interviewed 2 weeks ago, she now has the most listens of any woman that I've interviewed to date. Yeah, people are still downloading that show like crazy. I mean, for example, like in the last roughly 18, 24 hours, she had like 1,500 downloads. And that's, you know, to put that in perspective, that's probably like 3 times higher than what my normal show would have at this point. Usually I get most of my downloads like that first week, the first like 7 to 10 days, then it starts to taper off. And but her show has been downloaded consistently like crazy. And again, I'm going to take at least 40 to 50% of the credit, because she was, again, she wasn't necessarily planning on being as lighthearted and free-spirited as I got her to be. Here are a few clips from that episode, just a few brief clips. She said a lot of just sexy shit like...
And maybe you're the one who has to teach her everything there is to know about fucking.
Ooh, I love it when she says fucking. Sabrina, say it again.
Fucking.
Ooh. You know male listeners, you love hearing her say...
Fucking. I like to help people improve their fucking.
Ooh. Say it again.
I like to help people improve their fucking.
Ooh. Say it one more time.
I like to help people improve their fucking.
See, now, at first, if you listen to the early part of the interview, first she kept saying having sex. I said, no, you got to say fucking. And I love the way she says fucking.
Fucking.
Oh, so sexy when she says
fucking.
Oh, I just love to hear it when she says
fucking.
Yeah, oh man, that almost gets my dick hard every time I hear her say
fucking.
Yeah, Sabrina knew how to say fucking. And so, yeah, she gave me props on my Mode 1 approach. I was telling her how I usually approach a lot of women, and I'm real bold and straightforward, and this is what she had to say.
So I've never had an experience with a guy like you, Ellen. I've never had someone come up to me and be that bold. I don't know how I'd react, to be honest. I mean, yeah, it's hard to tell, because I think the first natural reaction would to be a bit offended, like you say that a lot of women are, but... Yeah, I guess, as you said, it really does pique women's curiosity, and then they want to know if you can back up the talk, so obviously it's worked for you. Mode 1.
I liked it when she said Mode 1. I want to hear you again, Sabrina.
Mode 1.
She even borrowed my signature phrase, which is say it again, when she said...
Say it again.
She sounds so cute saying that.
Say it again.
But of course, again, my favorite word for her to say is...
Fucking.
Yeah, I love that. Ooh, she sounds sexy when she says...
Fucking.
Yeah. A lot of stuff I said, she just simply told me...
I do like that, Ellen.
Yeah, see, like when I was talking about slow dancing in the pussy, she liked that.
I like your slow dancing on your pussy phrase. It's pretty, yeah, it's original.
Yeah, see,
I do like that, Ellen.
Yeah, and of course, I was telling her, I like to shoot cum on women's faces, and it helps them clear up their complexion. And see, she was giggling about that at first, but then she said...
You love to shoot your cum on their face, Ellen.
And of course, my favorite thing for her to say, my absolute favorite, and this is for any female guest I have, was when she said...
You're the king, Ellen.
Oh, yeah. She said what?
You're the king, Ellen.
Oh, yeah. I love when women call me the king. She said what?
You're the king.
She said...
You're the king, Ellen.
I am...
The king, Ellen.
Ooh. But one more time, I loved it when she said...
Fucking.
Ooh. Ooh, don't... Come on, guys. You got to admit, that shit's sexy when she says that. Ooh, just the way she lowers her voice and says...
Fucking.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Woo! I love that shit, man. Ooh. Ooh, fucking. Fucking. Anyway, I am going to take an intermission break, and when I get back, I am going to introduce my guest for the evening, who, like myself and Kezia Noble, is a professional dating coach and a lifestyle coach. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Well, I just got to hear it just one more time. I promise this is my last time.
Fucking.
Oh, man. I just love that shit, man. That's just so fucking sexy. Anyway, yeah, don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, What can I tell you? I'm excited. I got like, I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep, and he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I want to give some chat room shout outs. Charles D is in my chat room. Charles D, I got Evans BXY, you know. I got my man Frankie. Frankie, as you know, that's the guy with the baby face, but he got that voice that sound like he done, you know, developed and sold 3 corporations over a 30-year period. He got that seasoned veteran voice, but he got that baby face. Frankie, is in my chat room. I got a few guests in my chat room. I got my man Jazz Kaz is in my chat room. Jazz Kaz. They were getting a kick out of me talking about Sabrina. I'm addicted now. I gotta hear her say,
you're the king, Alan.
Oh, that's so sexy. I gotta hear.
You're the king, Alan.
Oh, and then the other thing I told you I love to hear say is
fucking.
Anyway, my guest evening is a life coach, author, public speaker, whose expertise includes self-development, lifestyle, and transformation. He created the groundbreaking transformation equation, along with 30 other programs in the field. My guest has worked with thousands of clients over the years, ranging from politicians to celebrities to entrepreneurs, in the art of designing a lifestyle that naturally attracts the best that life has to offer and believes in a transformative approach to improving your life. My guest has field-tested social experiments spanning over 25 years in the worldwide social scene, hosting thousands of parties and events, having had thousands of social interactions with people all over the world. The advice is published in his best-selling book, Jumpstart Your Social Life, which teaches you how to build an amazing social life in 30 days or less, not a year or less, not 6 months or less, 30 days or less. He delivers his real-life experience to you in a no-nonsense direct style that he's known for on his YouTube channel. He has over 500 videos and that have close to 2 million views, and he has upwards of 40,000 subscribers. And tonight, among other things, one of the main things we're going to talk about is the knowledge, wisdom, and advice he shares in his ebook, which is called Attract Hotter Women, The Lazy Man's Way. You know, men love to be lazy. The Lazy Man's Way to Be More Successful with Women. So on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward listeners, give it up for lifestyle coach, professional dating advisor, Brent Smith. How are you doing there, Brent?
I'm doing great, Alan. That was quite the intro. Quite the intro. And you're right. Okay, well, I am like the laziest man alive when it comes to chicks and dating. Seriously, I've done all the work and it's overrated. So I'm just a lazy guy. Where this all
you know,
came,
I've joked for years that one of the top five greatest inventions ever made for mankind was the remote control. And I tell people, and particularly women, when I say, you know, like sometimes women will say, you guys are so horny. Like they're not. But I always tell them, I say, well, you should be appreciative that we are this horny. Because think about if our creator didn't make men as horny. As lazy as we are, we don't want to get up from our chair just to turn the TV. We want a remote. So I said, our creator had to make us super duper horny just to have the motivation to fuck you, woman. And they are, hell yeah, you're so crazy.
Exactly, and all of it should be able to be done by your couch. I mean, by sitting on your couch. That's it. I mean, you know, seriously. And as we know, you know, women are as horny as men. You know, aha moment for any of you out there who don't know that. But it's like
yeah,
they're thinking about it as much as we are. That,
see, you and I are already on the same page, Brent, because that's one
right,
of the first
you
things
you just own
I
that
do.
You're horny, and you own that you're going to sit on your couch and be lazy and be horny, and, you know, and you're on the same page. You're horny, I'm horny, come get it. You know, right? Like, that's the deal.
Exactly. So, well, let me go back memory lane. Just from that intro, I see you've been doing what you do for quite a while. What series of events or what kind of turning point in your life led you to a career as a lifestyle coach and a professional dating coach?
You know, I was hanging out with David D'Angelo prior to and being Dave and D'Angelo in Hollywood Hills,
okay.
going to parties, and my best friend was his roommate. And
oh, okay.
so, yeah, so that's really how we all met, and we used to have all these crazy Hollywood parties at this house and bring all these girls over and all this just legendary stuff. And he turned to me one day and said, "You have an amazing lifestyle. You know, you should be doing this for a living." And I said, "Man, this is just like what I do. It's just like my normal thing. I'm just being me, hanging out, having a good time." And he said, "Well, I'm going to write a book about it someday," and blah, blah, blah. So he went on and he wrote, you know, Double Your Dating. And then he said, "Hey, you have to come speak at, well, I just want to interview you on stage at one of my seminars." So really, it was as simple as that. He said, "Show up at one of my things." I did. He said, "I want to invite my friend Brent up on stage. I'm going to just have a discussion with him, asking me a few questions." And I just kind of laid out my whole, you know, we just talked like we're talking now. And he said, "You know, what's your deal? What's the story? I've seen you do a lot of these crazy things, and this is your belief system on this." And that's what started it. It's as simple as that. Guys started emailing me and saying, "Do you coach? Do you have a book? Do you have products? You know, do you have an interesting outlook on this?" And, you know, and then I just started doing more and more interviews, and then I started coaching, and the rest is history. That was like 2005. And,
okay.
You know, as I started teaching all this dating stuff, you know, my clients started asking me about, you know, other stuff in their life, and it all was connected, you know. And they started talking to me about work and about relationships with their family and childhood issues and all this stuff. And I just started giving them my opinion about that, too. And all it was my opinion. And then so now, you know, and then it went into life coaching and lifestyle coaching. And I do quite a bit of traveling and, you know, partying and go to a lot of parties around the world and stuff. And so some guys were saying, "Hey, you know, can we hang out with you when you do that?" And that turned into lifestyle coaching. And so it's been a fun ride, and it's still going. Who knows what's next?
Well, good to hear. Now, you said something that I think is really important, because you said a lot of your advice was based simply on your own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if you're like me, you in the same way you have your share of fans, supporters, and people, you know, people who are behind you, I'm sure you also got your share of critics and haters, as I call them. And
sure.
I know I do. And one of the things my critics and haters always want to say, "Ellen, you're not like, you don't have a PhD in psychology, and, you know, you're not no, you know, you don't have credentials in relationship psychology. Who do you, you know?" And I say, "Hey, everything, all the advice I give in my books is primarily based on my opinion, which is based on my experiences and my observations."
Mm-hmm.
And either
yeah.
it resonates with people or it doesn't. I mean, it's simple
yeah.
as that. And I think what makes us different, the field we're in, where we don't necessarily have to have, I think when you're talking about something like medicine, you need
yeah.
a credential for that, because you don't want anybody working on your body. And I mean, but
yeah.
the average male, heterosexual male, is going to have his share of interactions with women and you know, involved in a lot of different social activities. So as that, you know, your years accumulate, you accumulate a certain body of knowledge
mm-hmm.
and wisdom. And I think what makes guys like us to toot our collective horns special is that we not only experience things, but we kind of take mental notes of, okay, that interaction went well. Let me analyze why they went well. And that interaction
mm-hmm.
didn't go so well. Let me analyze why it didn't go well. And from that,
mm-hmm.
we're able. So I just wanted to point that out when you said about, you know, you're sharing, you know, advice based on your opinions, because, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I understand where people are coming from. But I always say the same thing. Look, it's just my opinion. I take or leave it, try it. But what I've noticed over, you know, being just alive for many, many years, is I do what works. So I don't care who it comes from, who the information comes from. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and that's fine. But I think that, you know, to do what we do, it just takes an insatiable curiosity to want to know how things are done and how things work. And like you said, observation, breaking things down. We're sort of like social scientists, you know. I didn't even know that I was one, actually. I was just, ever since I can remember, I had this curiosity about interactions between people men and women definitely, but people, and the why behind why people do things, why they stay with people, why they react in certain ways, why they do what they do, and I was always fascinated by it, and so intrigued by it. So, you know, a lot of the information, yes, comes from my own personal experience, like yours comes from yours, and watching people, having tens of thousands of interactions with people, and, you know, and then it's just laid out there like, hey, you know, I always say you might want to consider this. Just consider it. You know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but consider it if everything else you're trying isn't working, or consider, you know, a few of these ideas as things you can add to what you're already doing. It doesn't make what you're doing wrong. It just, you know, and I get, just like you, I gather information from many different sources. You know, for my own life, I'm sure you do the same thing. You read something, you meet someone, you see something, you say, oh, that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll try to assimilate that in what I do. And it's the same thing. I don't worry about where the person got the info or how they learned it. I just say, wow, that's definitely for me.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how much you know about my history or backstory, but as far as emulating someone else's behavior, my first interesting influence on what's now is what's known as the Mode 1 philosophy was from a porno movie. It was the summer before my freshman in college. I saw this porno movie called Talk Dirty to Me that starred this late, great adult film actor named John Leslie. And in the movie, in one of the opening scenes, he approaches this woman who he had just met. She's like a female doctor. And he's just really bold and sexually straightforward with her, like, within the first 5 to 10 minutes of his conversation with her. And at that time, I had never seen anything like that. I was like, wow. I was like, no way. I was basically like, no way a guy would have the balls to just start talking about wanting to fuck a woman that quickly. But then, without getting too long of a story, you could say about 2-3 years later, I ended up trying that. I ended up using that, and to my pleasant surprise, it worked. And,
yeah.
And from that day on, I was a changed man, and that was kind of my the first person I observed and emulated wasn't even a real person. It was a fictional character in a movie, but the shit did. You know, they say life imitates art, and art imitates life.
Yeah.
And,
well, there's a lot to be learned from, you know, movies, both good and bad, actually.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. Totally agree.
Right, we've got, you know, the reason most people are walking around doing shit that doesn't work over and over again, expecting it to now work somehow, is because they learn what everybody else supposedly does, and they do it, and then it just keeps the thing rolling. You happen to find something that was, you know, fantastic for you and an aha moment for you, and something that was probably, you know, untraditional, you assimilated that, so that's great.
Well,
definitely
you,
come
you,
from there.
You gave me a nice segue. I was reading through your ebook, and you basically start off with the assertion that the traditional way of interacting with women and the traditional way of dating is antiquated, ineffective, or as you say, is broken. So can you explain to my listeners, in particular my male listeners, what do you find fault with the traditional means of interacting with women and dating?
Well, okay, I think that, you know, men have become too pushy and women have become too passive in the whole process. And I'm all for walking up and approaching a girl and saying what you mean and getting down to business and moving on. But the problem is that the information that most guys have, and the way I used to do it a long time ago, is kind of old information and kind of makes you creepy. It's kind of a creepy thing. It's kind of a creepy, I call it like a creepy over-pursuing guy, which is the traditional way we were all taught. You know, you got to go out, you got to approach women, and you got to talk them into going out with you, or you got to try to get their number and call and do this stuff. It's like a traditional courting procedure. And unfortunately, that has caused a lot of pain in people's lives and caused dating or relationships to not work. Because when it occurs to you that you don't have to do that anymore, and that actually women would love to skip the dating part and just go right to the physical part. You know, that means that all there's a lot of time being wasted. And I'm not saying that any guy can go up and do that, like when you said you were being direct after you saw that guy in the movie, because I'm all for being direct. But it's more than words you say, as you probably know already. It's more than just going up and saying, oh, you know, Brent or Alan told me to say this one sentence, and then this girl's going to get it, and she's going to come home with me or whatever.
Oh,
it's,
sure.
It's a vibe, too. It's like a, it's a, you know, it's a mindset. It's a vibe. You know, most communication is nonverbal. So it's, you got to, you know, because a guy who has, you know, has the whole vibe happening, the sexy, confident, carefree, you know, I know what's going on here vibe. I know that you're sexual and I'm sexual, and so, you know, let's just spend with the other stuff and just move down the road a little bit, like quickly, let's just do our thing, can get away with pretty much anything. And so I just think that we're doing, you know, I know that everyone's taught that way, and so I kind of took the other way, and I did it all the other way, by the way. I did everything the traditional way, where a man chases woman. And then I kind of just flipped the script because I'm lazy and because I was exhausted chasing women. And I did become very good at it. But, again, it was just exhausting. I thought, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. They should come to me, you know, in the best positive, in the healthiest way. I don't mean that to sound arrogant, but I'm like, you know what? I've done way too much work for what I have, you know. And I am pretty successful, like I said. But, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I want them to come to me. I wonder if there's a way that I could switch this around and become a more of attractive guy so that when I do approach, that they're interested in me more often than not, and I don't have to freaking talk them into sex or talk them into giving me their phone number or talk them into a date. You know, maybe I'll just give them my phone number and see what happens. Maybe I'll, you know, make them make the first move, or maybe I'll suggest that they make the first move or something. I'm just going to screw around with this whole thing and I just became very lazy and stopped trying. And, you know, as
okay,
I said in the
Brent,
book.
Okay, can I pause you for a second?
Uh-huh.
I want to touch on one thing before we move forward. Because this is something I've actually had a philosophical debate with a few people, a few other dating coaches, guests on the show.
Okay.
So it sounds like you said you're more in favor of giving a woman your number as opposed to you asking for hers, right?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, exactly.
You are. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then you're similar to me then, because, yeah, I'm part of this group called the Direct Dating Summit, and one of the other speakers, he's been a guest on the show, his name is Johnny Sporno.
Yeah, I know
Johnny. You know Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, now, Johnny, we agree on a lot of things, but that was at least one area where he and I, like, he said he's just obviously, he doesn't believe in giving a woman his number. He always believes in asking for a woman's.
Uh-huh.
Number, and I was like, ooh, I said, no, I totally disagree. I said, I either do one or two things. One, I either exchange numbers or I exclusively give them my number. But I rarely have ever asked women for their phone number.
Yeah, I stopped doing that like over 10 years ago. The last time I texted a woman first or reached out for a booty call, once I started giving out my number and letting them do the chasing, I never had to do the other again. And I was way more successful with a lot less work than when I used to collect phone numbers every night, because I became a master at collecting the phone number and then calling and converting them. But the only reason I converted so many into dates or sex was because of the sheer volume. And it was exhausting, like I said. And so I wanted to just find another way. And I thought, you know what, maybe if I just stop trying and just chill out and relax and stop being so needy and desperate sounding and acting. Not that every guy has them, just saying that's how I was. And I was so obsessed with getting, you know, sex or getting a date or whatever. Maybe if I just let go of all that and just didn't give a shit anymore, maybe they'd come after me. It's just a theory. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. And when I stopped doing that, of course, there were some bumps in the road a little bit on that new path. But once it started working, I was like, holy crap, why would I ever go back to the other way? Now, mind you, I know a lot of the other dating coaches and dating guys, and we totally respect each other's ways of doing things, and we do differ, you know, in the ways that we do stuff. And I'm not saying one's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is something to consider as another tool in your toolbox when it comes to, you know, dating and sex and whatever. I mean, it's like, you know, everyone's looking for a different kind of, I don't want to say trick, but a little tweak on how things are done that'll you know, cause you to get more return on your investment of going out and socializing and talking to women and so on, and avoid being stuff that guys hate, like being flaked on, you know, doing 100 text messages and back and forth and never getting together with a girl and you can't figure out why. You know, she seems really excited. You know, like, I just want to go direct. And, like, I just want, if she's interested, I want her to do her thing. But I show up as a sexy guy, and it usually just happens the way I'm saying. You know, once
you
give yourself over to it.
I want to make another point real quick, if you don't mind. But, yeah, that is so true what you said about being, because I know, again, I'm going to mention the group I'm part of, the Direct Dating Summit. Mm-hmm. We were speaking in Berlin actually roughly a year ago from right now. It was late April of last year. And it was probably about five or six of us speakers. And there was a lot of things that we shared philosophically, but, of course, each of us had little nuances that were different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this one particular speaker who said something to the audience that was almost totally contradicted what I said, what I believe in. And
mm-hmm.
like some of the guys, you know, after during one of the breaks was like, hey, Alan, I mean, man, this is getting controversial because so-and-so, he said something, man, that totally was different than yours. And so when I got up and spoke, I said, why would you want to come here and listen to five guys say the exact same shit? I say, instead of looking at it as some kind of controversy, like me, for example, this is what I told the guys. I have never, and I can honestly say, I've never really hated on another dating coach. I actually encourage my followers to get as much, read as much as possible, because different things going to resonate with different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I just wanted to point that out, that you said, you know, you also feel that people can learn from, I mean, we all... Again, we're going to base things on our experiences, and I might experience some things that were different from you and vice versa.
But
I don't like when people – now, the only time I have gotten into kind of contentious debates with, another dating coach is when they really go after my – like try to attack my stuff.
I've had
at least two guys – I'm not going to say their names, but there are at least two guys minimum in this industry that have – like specifically attacked my philosophies and my advice. So, you know, I went at it with them. But otherwise, I say if somebody says something different than me and that resonates with you, hey, go with it. But anyway, I just wanted
totally.
To point that out.
Yeah, totally. I think we're all in, you know, we all have the same goal, and that's to help guys, you know, have more options when it comes to women. That's it, bottom line. And I have a healthy respect for everybody out there in the field doing their thing, working hard, helping guys, taking them out, coaching them, and all that stuff. And, like, if it resonates with them and your clients are having great results and you're having great results, then by all means, do what you're doing. Do what you're doing. This is just, these are just other options, other things to consider, and things to try. And I think if we all talked about it in that way, then it's just like, try it as a fun experiment. It's not the law, right? Like, you don't have to keep doing it. Like, if it doesn't fit with your mindset, you know, I'm not trying to disprove anything or prove anything. It's just, here's a couple more things. Here's how I tweaked it, because I used to be hardcore, you know, chasing women. Hardcore, the old traditional way before there even was an industry. We were out there doing it, and we did everything. We experimented with everything there is to experiment with the ways to do it. And just from our own personal experience, me and my friends had more, because we're always trying to have more success for less work, rather than do all that work and have, you know, just a limited amount of success. And when we ran the numbers after doing both, we stick with what we do now, because it's just like hanging out and getting laid all the time. Like, other guys are trying to get laid and you're just getting laid. Like, there's no trying, it just comes to you. You just attract women like flies, like all the time, no matter what you do, where you go, and what you say. And you can approach, or some women will approach you. You can hang out. You can have a lot of energy, or you can be kind of low energy, because your vibe is always the same. It's always this kind of carefree, cool vibe. And you're still, you know, talking smack once in a while, and you're still bantering with them sometimes, and you're having fun, and you're telling stories, and you're having a great time and helping people have, you know, fun. But it's not the same because you're not so attached to the outcome. And then when women forget, and this is a lot, and I'm only going to talk about a couple aha moments. I had so many aha moments during this whole process. But once women figure out that, you know, they feel the vibe, you're a sexy guy, you know, and they find that out, and that you don't really want something from them in the creepy, overbearing way, they will just hand it to you. That's what I found personally. I mean, I've taught that as well to many, many clients, many guys, but that's what I found personally first before I taught it, was that, you know, if you just let it go. You can still talk, and you can still be the leader and still be the man and still be macho and still take the lead and take control. This is just a different way, and you're leading women to do different things. You're leading them to chase you. You're leading them to proposition you. You can still talk about sex and throw it out there, absolutely. And you can still go up and be very direct and very dirty with women, but it's not the same as when we used to be really overbearing and really pushy and cornering them and really trying to talk them into stuff that I found out later they already wanted to do. They showed up ready to meet a cool guy if one would appear. So I used to spend all my time talking them into something they already wanted to do, and a lot of times I ended up talking them out of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, you know, so, it's funny anyway. You say that. I had a woman years ago, probably, I don't know, late 80s, early 90s, I was talking to a woman. And this is where I adopted my own version of less is more, meaning less words is more effective. Because she said, Alan, you know the funny thing about you men? I said, what's that? She said, a lot of men will talk to you, and they'll think they're talking their way into your pants, when in actuality, more often than not, most guys talk their way out of my pants.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting for her to say that. She said a lot of guys, they would have had a better chance at fucking me if they had kept their words to a minimum. But because they kept talking and talking. Matter of fact, I had a woman who was a guest, not on this show, but I have another spinoff show I do called The Erotic Conversationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed this one woman named Diana. She's the first African-American woman to direct an adult film. And we were talking about different things, and she would say, she not only did she direct adult films, but she used to star in many of them too. And so at one point in the interview, I said, so, you know, how would you interact with that guy, say, in those last 24 to 48 hours leading up to your scene? And she said, oh, Alan, I wouldn't most of the time. I said, you wouldn't want to interact with him at all. She said, no. She said, because I found that the times when I would do a lot of talking with a guy prior to, say, if we had, say, a scene due on Wednesday afternoon and me and him did a lot of talking on Monday and Tuesday, that guy ended up saying something that was so goofy or corny or stupid or whatever that it would turn me off and I wouldn't want to do the scene with him. And I was like, that's interesting. So she basically was saying that, yeah, she said, you don't want to do too much talk. Now, you know, a celebrity who I'm sure would favor your approach and your attitude about wanting women to pursue you. I was watching Morgan Freeman was doing an interview on what's called, you familiar with the Piers Morgan show? I think it's canceled now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a guest on Piers Morgan, and they were talking about his movies, his career. But then there was a lighthearted moment where Piers Morgan said, Morgan, I heard something interesting about you. And Morgan said, what's that? He said, I heard you were like this closet ladies man that, you know, I heard the women just adore you. And, of course, Morgan's trying to play it down and being real modest. And he said, you know, so Morgan basically wanted to move on, but Pierce kept, you know, lightheartedly talking about it. So he said, come on, Morgan, just, I'm not that good. Give my viewers at least one or two tips that you think will help them improve their success with women. And he said, okay, I'll give one tip and then, you know, we'll move on. He said, okay. He said, do not chase women. And Pierce was like, really? He said, no. He said, I never, ever, ever chase a woman. He said, the most I do is, he said, I approach a woman. I let her know that I find her attractive, and that I would be welcome to the idea of sharing her company. And then he said, I leave her alone. He said, after, at that point, he said, I put the ball in her court, and I let her come to me.
Very powerful.
And,
yeah.
So
have,
it sounds like he's about the lazy man's way of...
He is about the lazy man's way. He probably learned it the hard way by, you know, like we all did, by, you know, saying too much, overselling ourselves. And then, you know, I've heard women say, just shut up and fuck me. Are you going to shut up anytime soon and stop talking? Are we going to get down to business, or what's the story? Like, that's shocking to hear from a woman, but it changes your whole world book on things. You're like, you mean I don't
totally...
have to speak? What are you talking about? I don't have to talk? I thought every other guy told me I had to talk and be incredibly funny and charismatic and interesting and give you compliments and walk you down this road with this story. And no, when you walked over here, I was attracted to you. We could have left then. Why are we still standing here? Why aren't we at your place or my place or in the bathroom or in your car? I don't understand. It's like, whoa, wait a second. It's not supposed to work like that. Like, you know, those were like the little aha moments I had along the way, thinking like, wait a second. So you mean I've been doing all this work, and all they want to do if they meet the right guy is just leave with them? Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a whole nother level. And I want to master that level of being that guy. So, you know,
I heard that.
You know, what Morgan's saying is really it's powerful, because if you can just really, if you focus all your time, you focus on obsessing about why you're not getting laid and how to get laid and, you know, what it means when you don't get laid and projection and you're pacing your apartment, worrying about it. If you just focus on, like, how to be the attractive guy women find irresistible, you wouldn't really need to do all that work anymore. You just, everywhere you would go around in the world, you would show up at this guy. And, you know, it takes a little bit more work. It takes some inner work rather than just outward techniques of what you say and how you say it and how you walk over there and where you stand and all this stuff, which, you know, we mastered all that. But it's like, it's this inner thing, it's this inner belief. And you know, if your first inclination when you hear that don't chase women is to resist that and say, well, no, that's the way it's done, that all the guys I know that get women, they chase them, right? Like, if you can't let go of that conversation ever, you'll never have that other side of success. You'll just, and that's fine. It's up to you. You do what you want. But there's a whole other level beyond chasing women that will reveal itself to you when you let go of chasing women. If you let go of chasing women. And you don't have to. But if you do, and if you choose to consider that, then you will be rewarded with an avalanche of ass to such a level that you'll have to start inviting women over in groups. You will not be able to sleep with all the women. You'll have to be able to have it like a Cialis or Viagra drip plugged in your arm, because you can't even be hard that long to have sex with that many women. They're going to be chasing you and propositioning you and throwing them, blowing up your phone every 5 minutes. You will never make another booty call again, ever, ever. You will never have to do any work. They will just constantly be texting you saying, you want to fuck? You want to fuck? Hey, can you come over and fuck me? Hey, can I bring my girlfriend over? That will be your new life. That will be your high-quality issue.
Yes, male listeners, I tell you, the goal is always to hear this. That's what you always want to hear. If you want to call in, listeners, with a question for my guest, Brent Smith, or a comment based on the conversation up to this point, you can call in at 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. I'm about to take about a 5-minute intermission break, let my guest get a swig of water. But when I come back, I see area code 231 in my phone queue. I'm going to get to you when I come back. I see a number of people in my chat room. Aaron 2213 is in my chat room. I got Big C Radio in my chat room. I got Charles D. I got Evans BXYE Dome. Frankie, my man Frankie. I got Fun of the Chase in my chat. Now, Fun of the Chase, I had to crack a joke in the chat room. He said, Alan, I just want you to know you're doing the Lord's work, and Kezia Noble did get wet. In fact, she masturbated to you 20 times that night. That's cute. Hey, I know I got her wet. I don't know about if she masturbated 20 times. I see a number of guests in my chat room, and I see Jazz Cast. So, again, if you got a question or a comment for Brent Smith, 646-478-5710, press the number 1. That lets me know that you have something to say. You got to press the number 1. Anyway, I will be right back in about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
No one.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Kerr, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Kanahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Nikki Ransom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Tuning in, it's nice to see you all again, so.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff, because it's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London.
This is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He's hooked up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. We do.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good. It's a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the street. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. Just one little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? Abby, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview and conversation with lifestyle coach and professional dating advisor Brent Smith on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on Blog Talk Radio in the category of romance and self-help for dating and relationships. We're talking to an accomplished professional lifestyle coach and dating coach by the name of Brent Smith. And he has probably a number of books out that his readers have read, but the one we're focusing on tonight is his book called Attract Hotter Women, The Lazy Man's Way to Be More Successful with Women. I see area code 231, 231. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question and or comment?
What's up? How you doing? Thank you for allowing me to be on the show tonight. And I'm just listening, and I'm enjoying especially what you said about Morgan Freeman. And you know what? I'm lazy. You know, it's kind of hard to say because all my life I it's been easy for me because you know what? Women want what they want. Women don't necessarily have to be attracted to you. I used to have a nice figure and for women, and they like that. But, you know, I'm a bigger guy now. So it's a little different approach to dating and everything. I really don't want to date because that's a waste of time and money for me. I really want to just get with them. I have never paid for a woman, not directly. You know, I have never paid to have a trick done, as they say. But, you know, I talk to women, and women want what they can't have. They want a picture. See, when I was younger, if I acted like somebody else, that's what women wanted. They wanted that television guy. They wanted that rapper. They wanted that physical appearance with the attitude. So I was regal. I was a very regal person. I'm still regal in some ways, but I just slowed down a lot. So now I'm approaching different women, women, you know, that I don't have to date. If I date a woman, that means I want her to be mine. So I'm not looking for somebody to be mine. I'm looking for a good time. So sometimes I approach women, and I just tell them, you know, they want what they can't have, so you got to give them, well, you know, have you had this? And sometimes you got to talk to them. You know, I'm not a life coach or anything, but I got to give the gas. So I'm going to talk to them. My wife, I used to be married. My wife used to tell me, don't let Dion talk to you because he'll talk to you at your panties. So that's how I had it. I used to swing with my wife, and she had came to me the last time when I broke up with her because I didn't want to deal with her crap anymore. But that's another story. But I told her, she said, my friends want to get with you because you're a good lover. They want women talk amongst each other. I had two women over here the other day. They was talking about, oh, I want that. This dude had the pole, and he was this, and I just sat there and listened to him. But I told him, well, when we going to get together? And that's what I wanted. I wanted her, if she was bragging, she was coming over for something. You know, she wanted, it was two of them. And they both were talking the same way, but, you know, I can't holler at both of them at the same time. The first time I met this chick, I told her, I had a friend that I used to mess around with. I asked for both of them to be with me. So sometimes you just got to be direct and approach a woman directly because they don't want to hear all that chitter-chatter like, oh, you look good today, but you can say you look good. They're going, You know, but if you tell them, look, you know, what are we going to do? How can we do it? When can we do it? Right now? Later? What? What you want to do? And it's not necessarily those words that I choose because my gift comes when I talk to them. I can't just talk it out and just had a gift to talk out to anyone.
Where are you, listening? I'm not familiar with 231. Where is that, 231?
Michigan.
Okay.
And I talk to women. Like right now, I meet women through other friends. I just talked to a guy that was over my house, came over my house for a couple of minutes, and I told him, hook me up with his cousin's sister. So he was like, yeah, I'll get over here. But see, sometimes you just got to call them. I've had women approach me and say, I'm just going to give you, I sit in the house all day. I'm just going to give you something.
Wait, I'm confused. You said you wanted him to hook you up with his cousin's sister. Wouldn't that be his cousin too?
I guess. I don't know how the family run. Because, man, I do them 20 to 80 down crippled or crazy. So I'm a big guy too, so but they always tell me I'm a good lover. You know, I put all my heart into making love. It ain't what you got, it's how you use it. And when you use it right, they'll tell you stuff like, you tore it up. What did you do, baby? What did I say? What did you want? Yeah, you tore it up, man. It's like, that's what I wanted yet.
Hey, Dion, before I move on, I'm going to have to move on, but give me you familiar with my first book called Mo 1?
No, I haven't read it. I just caught you tonight. This is my first time.
Oh, this is your first time. Well, I appreciate you listening for first. I was going to ask you to give me what I do on this show. If you've ever heard, well, you just said it's your first time, so you would know. But I have my guests and listeners stretch out the O's in Mode 1 and go, Mode 1. You think you could do that? Mode 1.
Mode 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
You're up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo one.
Brother Michigan, I appreciate you listening to my show and calling in, and thank you for that feedback.
You know what you've got to do is you got to get that stuff on tape now when they give you compliments like that. Say, hold on, let me record that on my phone. The testimonials from those chicks.
Okay, and now I see area code 313-313. You're now up front, straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest, Brent Smith. What's your question or comment?
My question is, how do you convey the same approach online?
Yeah, good question. Because online is definitely you know, most of the time where men are approaching women, of course, 98% of the time. And, you know, if you've ever looked in a woman's inbox, you'll see thousands of creepy messages from men. So I think it's the same kind of idea where if, you know, you're reaching out and you're being this confident, cool guy, but you're not being overbearing and you're not letting this kind of idea that we have that, oh, there's tons of competition because there's like 1,000 guys are going to email, especially this chick because she's, you know, smoking hot or whatever. And you just kind of, if you're the only one who is kind of like, you know, being excellent in front of her, like whatever, you know, when you say whatever you're going to say, and then you'd leave her alone, and you don't keep hitting her up back, you know, like 100 times, you're going to be the only one doing that. So that's the way I find it. You know, it's the most powerful if you're doing it online.
Okay. Thanks. This is my first time listening to.
Okay. What's your first name?
Jay.
Jay, I appreciate you listening, Jay. Hey, Jay, can you do me that same favor? Give me a nice, enthusiastic Mo One.
Mo One.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
From up front, straight forward.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Mo
One more call. This looks like a Skype call. Krupp Nomer. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest, Brent Smith. What's your question or comment? Is anybody there? Krupp Nomer.
Oh, yeah, it's me, probably, yeah. Hey, guys. This is Dimitri from Moscow. Well, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, Brent. Hey, Alan. Actually, guys, you're somebody, you know, I've switched back and forth over the years, so I've switched from Mode 1 to non-pursuing stuff from Brent, and I have a question like this. Sometimes I'm direct with girls, sexual direct, and so sometimes I'm more like they have to pursue me, and, well, you know what, I can pretty much say that some of the girls have been seeking more directness from me. I mean, more like the Mode 1 approach, directness. And the other girls wanted me to be more indifferent and kind of they wanted to pursue me themselves. So I wonder how I reconcile, you know, one or the other thing. And I've heard that Brent have this dirty indirect stuff lately, and I want to know how it's different from your previous non-pursuing thing. So have you become more like Mode 1 guy?
Well, and, I'll tell you. Good question, Dimitri, and thanks for listening and following and all that kind of stuff. I appreciate it. And great question. Okay, so the non-pursuing thing, when guys have heard me say in the past, absolutely no pursuing. And the reason that I say that is because it's like ripping a Band-Aid off. Guys are over-pursuing, so I can't say pursue less because that doesn't mean anything because we have no calibration talent, you know, as men. We're like, what do you mean less? No, it's supposed to be more. And so we don't know that. So I said, just stop pursuing. Just stop chasing women, period, 100%. And once you have learned, like, all this inner stuff I talk about, being this guy who can attract women and can show up as this really, you know, this really confident, carefree, sexy guy who knows what's inside women's heads, then you can you can be dirty and direct, you know? I mean, I don't go up and usually say, oh, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I stop short of that, and please give me your phone number. I don't do that anymore. But, you know, like, you can go up and tell her your intentions. And a lot of times, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, conveying to her that you already know what's up. So I'm still a lot of times, you know, kidding around with them, you know, by saying, I don't know how you do it now, but by saying, you know, did you just ask me to leave with you, right, or something like that, or, you know, so what do you like? What's your deal? You know, like, I'm just come out and say it. Let's get it out on the table. Like, you know, is that the right spot? is what the right spot? You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, she could be very direct like that. And so I guess we're out of here, huh? You know?
Brent, you know, can I ask something? So yeah. What I've noticed, I come from Moscow, you know, Russian girls are pretty submissive, I guess, sometimes. They want us to be more direct, but I've used this stuff. Like, did you just ask me to make up with you in the bathroom?
Yeah.
And right. They're like, I know, it's kind of they want it, but they're shy. They want me to show some interest first. So sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And pretty much my question is, you know, I've heard you before just kind of refuse to give them any compliments. So you're like calling compliments over pursuing. So do you do that now? So you do compliment or?
No, I mean, like I said, I will compliment. I've always said that I'll compliment them on something like some clothing or a bag or shoes or whatever. Some kind of. Mm. But I still will not tell them they're beautiful. No, I don't do that. And that's
really?
Just me. You can do that if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to change your approach to these women, you could say, you know, hey, I noticed you, and yeah, I might be up for making out with you in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she say something like, what do you mean? I didn't ask you. Isn't that what you want to do? Because I might be up for it if that's what you want to do. So you could take the onus off of her and put it more on you if that's your situation in Moscow. You know, I mean, play. You can play around with it. You know, some of the rules are hard and fast, and some of them are bendable and flexible based on where you're at in your self-development and your mindset, right? Because I just don't want, like, you know, creepiness happening anymore. It's a crusade against creepiness because I used to be creepy. So, you know, I'm always trying to, like, say, does that sound creepy the way I said it? Or with the right
okay,
boss,
Brent, let me ask you.
That?
I've heard you use this word quite a bit, and I'll be honest, when women use that term, I at least half the time I have an issue with it. So I got to ask you, what's your definition of creepy?
A desperate, needy, overselling guy who wants, you know, he really needs sex. He wants to get something from the girl. He's not listening to her. He's just like, he's like, what should I say next? How can I get this girl to leave with me? And it's just creepy. It's like he can't be real and he can't be in the present moment because he – and again, it's not really his fault. He just doesn't have the tools. You know, he's been taught a different way that doesn't really work for him, and maybe he's just not that far in. But he comes off creepy. It's like, you know, we've all seen it. We've all probably done it, right? Like we've definitely been next to a guy who's done it, and we go, oh, God, I feel for that guy because this girl is going to roll her eyes or turn away, and it always happens because he's nervous, but – and he's needy and desperate, and he operates out of scarcity, and you can tell that all he's doing is repeating some line he learned somewhere, like a robot, or he's telling some story that she's heard 100 times from 100 other pickup artists or something. He's not innovating at all or making it his own style or, you know, and I understand why guys do that because, you know, hey, let's follow a proven system and let's not deviate. Let's learn the basics, and then we can develop our own style. But if you're not having – you know, positive results, you definitely want to change that style. And, you know, you can make a hybrid out of stuff. Like I said at the beginning of this conversation, you know, whatever is working for you, you know, my fallback belief is all women are the same everywhere, period. That way I don't fall into making excuses for, well, women in Thailand, women in Moscow, well, English women or Indian women or Muslim women, like I could go around all day making excuses for why certain women won't do certain things. But that wouldn't be the truth because they'll all do the same thing. In my experience, they'll all do the same thing. Now, having said that, excuse me, if you're bumping up against a wall, so to speak, you can alter it. And I gave you an example of how to do that. So it's still like she's insinuating it, but you're agreeing with it. You agree that you might do it. So he's still showing some interest that you were afraid that you weren't showing, but now you are. And she's still able to say yes or no, or are you kidding around with me, or whatever. Do you want me to be kidding around with you? Because I'm pretty serious right now. Like, you know, so you can be direct, and that's a form of interest. You're standing there, you're talking, you know, you're standing there talking to her, so you must be interested. Let me
now, Dimitri, I want to make a point to you that, because you kind of expressed it like mode one, my philosophy and Brent's philosophy are kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. I wouldn't 100% agree with that. I would say on a scale from 1 to 5, if 5 was being just super duper aggressive in terms of pursuing women and 1 was representative of what Brent is espousing, I'm probably somewhere between a 2 and a 3. I'm not at a 5. I mean, at Mo 1, I don't believe, one thing me and Brent agree on, I rarely ask women for their phone number. I only give them my phone number, or at most I exchange numbers. I'm not the type of guy that will call a woman, say, 5 times over a 4-day period or anything like that. Now, where I am kind of what I would call aggressive is in that very first conversation. In that very first conversation when I approach a woman, if I sense that a woman's trying to give me what I call that token resistance or offering me what I call a prudish facade, I will break a woman down. Because I tend to approach women with an underlying attitude that all of y'all got a kinky side to you. Even the ones who are pretending not to, y'all definitely have a kinky side
definitely
to you.
True.
And that's how I talk to them. Like with this kind of smirk and this attitude, like, I don't care how much you try to present yourself as this innocent, wholesome prude type, I know you love the fuck. I know you love to get your pussy licked. I know you love to suck dick. Don't try to fool me. And so you can say when a woman's giving me that token resistance, I become more persistent, and some would perceive that as being, you know, real aggressive. But, again, beyond that first conversation, that's when I would say I'm pretty close to Brent. I don't, I'm not one that's going to get a woman's number and then call her a whole bunch of times. Like, hey, are we going out? When are we going out? You know, hey.
Well, that's creepy. That's creepy.
Yeah, see, that would be creepy. Yeah, I agree. And I'm just like, what I basically do is I let women know in a very bold, confident, straightforward manner that I want to fuck them. And once I'm sure they've absorbed that, then I kind of, you know, I do pretty much put the ball in their court. Like, you know I want to fuck you. So what's your next move? So anyway, I just wanted to make that clear because you were starting to sound like you were saying we were just totally opposite, and I would disagree with that.
Well, as I've said, Brent has become, like, more dirty and direct lately, so I think you're kind of, you know, getting closer. Alan, but would that approach, like, did you just ask me to make out with you in the bathroom, would be, like, mode one? Would you categorize it as mode one? So, like, it's putting interest into a woman's court, but, you know, still showing some intent from you.
Yeah, well, if you're you know, bold enough and you've got, you know, the right vibe, it's not a problem if you go over. You can go over to a woman and say, "All right, I guess we should get out of here," right? Like that. You could just say, "Or yeah, let's leave. Let's get out of here." Okay. Like, you can just say that. That's, you know, if you're strong enough where you stand, that works. Very little speaking, and you're showing interest, and you're telling her what to do, and you're leading, and you're being very direct about. And then, you know, like you said, if the girl's more demure. And they all have a kinky side, like Alan said, which is very true. She may respond to that. She may say, "Okay, I just needed someone to come over and tell me what to do. I've been sitting over to wait," right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had some girls. I would tell them, you know, I'm gonna seduce you and make you a dirty girl or something like this. And from some of them, I got resistance, and they were like, "I want to seduce you and make you come different times or many times," and she just completely lost interest because I showed my interest first. So that's where I would remember about Brent's kind of no show interest at all, you know. And so they wanted to seduce me instead of me trying to seduce them.
Yeah, you sort of have to feel it out, and I think that's why, you know, it's good to go out and practice and have lots of interactions, because you learn the subtleties and the finesse of that by doing it wrong, right, a bunch of times. Like, I did it wrong a bunch of times and got the same kind of results that you're talking about, where a girl said, "Wait a second, I wanted to be in control," and then I would lean back a little bit, and she would do all the work, and then she was interested, and then she was all over me, and I was like, "What is going on here? I thought I was supposed to be the aggressor. What the hell is happening?" Which is how I started playing with all of this stuff. And I would say that it's better, just a little thing I pulled out of what you just said. It's better to think of it as you're helping her reveal the dirty girl that she already is rather than make her a dirty girl. Because, again, I always play with words, right? Make someone do something, talk them into it. No, they already want to do it with the right guy. There's a guy who can walk up to that girl, and she will break every rule she's ever made for herself, and she will be the dirtiest, kinkiest. She has it in her. It's already there. It's just under the surface, you know? And so start thinking of it as like, you know, you're the guy that women feel comfortable revealing that to and you know, living out their wildest fantasies and desires. In fact, you know, and I always tell you guys to create some kind of story, but, you know, women do things with me that they've never done with another man, even a boyfriend or a husband. They do wild things, next level things, things they've always dreamed about, because when they meet me, they feel so comfortable and they trust me, and they know that I know. They know that I know what they're thinking and that they want sex and they want to be dirty. And so they feel really comfortable bringing that out in the very first 30 seconds of our meeting and taking me by the hand and saying, let's get out of here. And whether I do it or she does it, the result is always the same. We always leave and we go do our thing. We go, you know, have sex or whatever it is that you're, or she grabs three girlfriends and we go, you know, back to my hotel room, whatever.
Okay. So.
Make sense?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. You know, I just remembered that you and Alan, you have something in common, like you both visualize what's going to happen. You know, this Alan was talking about visualizing the outcome, like he's going to have different things happening to him.
Yeah.
And you were talking about story and, so you know, your own image and how you view yourself, how you visualize what's going to happen. So.
Yeah, it's very important. It's very powerful. I mean, rather than visualizing what happened to you last time when you were rejected and this girl said this, you walked up and she, you know, turned around or whatever, you want to visualize what you actually want to have happen and that it's really happening and that it happens to you all the time and that's the norm for you and that's how all women treat you. They treat you as a sexual object if that's what you're looking for right now. And then it's your choice whether to comply with that, if you find her attractive, but really only the ones you find attractive treat you like sexual objects, so you could really make it very, very specific and, you know, kind of design this life that you walk around and it just kind of happens to you.
So, Dimitri, you must have watched my Berlin clip, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because... listeners, in case you didn't see my clip from when I spoke in Berlin last year, that was one of the points I did make, is that one thing that frustrates me is when one of my students, clients, or some guy I meet at workshop, once he'll say, Alan, I want to be more one, or I want to be more confident with women, but I picture a woman cursing me out, or I picture a woman slapping me. And my attitude is always, why are you visualizing negative shit? Especially if it ain't happened. I could see if it has happened to you before. But 90% of the time when guys give me these scenarios and I say, okay, how many times has that happened to you? They'll say, well, actually, never. But I just keep visualizing. I'm like, why are you visualizing negative shit? And so the point I make in the video is that I'm just the opposite. When I'm around women, I don't care if it's the grocery store, the post office, I picture a woman sucking my dick within, like, say, 15 to 20 minutes after I meet her. Like, if I'm in a shopping mall and I start talking to a woman in a shopping mall, first visualization I have in my head is like, okay, we're getting ready to go to a secluded part of this mall, and she's going to suck my dick. And
yeah, why does she keep staring at my crotch? She won't even look me in the eye.
I'll have those type of thoughts, and I can say, you know, the kind of, you know, to my horn, I've had a lot of out of the ordinary experiences because of that. You know, I've gotten, you know, I think you, Dimitri, you probably know some of my stories, like my most infamous story.
Yeah.
I got my dick sucked in a grocery store. That was the night, matter of fact, my brother became a believer in Mo 1. I've gotten, and I can name another number of other public venue type places that I've got.
Petroleum station.
Even got my dicks, LAX airport, I got my dick sucked. I fucked women, you know, in hotel stairwells. And anyway, the point is that guys, if I have to give you a tip, is that, and it sounds like Brent feels the same way, you cannot visualize yourself experiencing rejection or some type of negative reaction. Now, if the negative reaction happens, it happens. But don't anticipate it happening. Don't visualize that happening. Always visualize something positive and reciprocal mm-hmm. happening. You know, I'm, like sometimes if I'm around three women at the same time, I'll visualize myself fucking all three of those women. And that's the only way shit is going to happen. And that's not only respect to sex. To me, that's
everything.
Life, period. You gotta visualize positive shit happening in your life. But Dimitri, I appreciate you coming. Now, Dimitri, can you do me
Thank
a favor?
Guys.
You've heard the other callers do.
Oh, of course.
Can you give me a nice
mode one?
Alan Roger Curry.
Good love front, straight forward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Listeners, I'm going to take one final break, and after we get back from the break, I'm going to have about 15 minutes left with Brent, my special guest, Brent Smith. So if you have a question or comment, call in 646-478-5710. I will be back in about 4 to 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Are you a single heterosexual male who has experienced more than your share of problems, disappointments, and frustrations in your interactions with women of interest? Then you need to contact Linda Gross. She's the author of The Caveman Formula, How to Master Winning Ways with Women. She will offer you consultation sessions that will seek to identify and eliminate all the flaws and weaknesses in your behavior. Contact Linda today at info@themensadvocate.com. That's info@themensadvocate.com. Mention Mode 1 and you'll get 15 minutes free in your consultation session. Don't hesitate. Contact her today.
I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I need love and affection. And I hope I'm not sounding too desperate. I need
read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zay. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront, Straightforward, and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
My
mindsets is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So listeners know there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview and conversation with lifestyle coach and professional dating advisor Brent Smith on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on Blog Talk Radio in the category of romance, self-help for dating relationships. I see Charles D. in my chat room. I see Dimitri, a.k.a. Follow Me, in my chat room. I see Evans, B-X-Y-E-D-O-M. I see a number of guests. I see my younger cousin, Christopher Curry, a.k.a. Hypestyle. Hypestyle's in my chat room. I see Jazz Caz. I see Kenman from Holland. Kenman from Holland is in my chat room, and I saw Fun of the Chase was in my chat room. That's my friend Bronzy from this site called PUA Hate. And speaking of PUA Hate, and Brent, he's probably familiar with PUAHate.com. You know, sure. I'm going to talk about y'all because y'all chicken out last week. I had an open forum discussion. All these guys from PUA Hate said they was going to call in and debate me and challenge me. Did not one person call in. So y'all lost my respect. Y'all bunch of cowards. Bunch of cowards talking all that shit to me on a message board. And then you don't even show up. But we're talking tonight with Brent Smith, who has, among other books and products, he has one book in particular we've been referring to, and that's called Attract Hotter Women: The Lazy Man's Way to Be More Successful with Women. Now, Brent, I noticed another area where you were similar to me. You're not the biggest fan of meeting women at bars or nightclubs. Elaborate on that.
I do, and I have, of course, thousands of them. but I always, my lifestyle and my social life tends to be, a lot of charity events and high-end events and things, parties, wine tasting, stuff like that. I just found that to be kind of a more fertile ground, at least for me, since I've done all the bars and clubs forever. I still go out and I still do that. But these other places are just like gold mines. I mean, really, it's like I'm so lazy that I want to find the laziest places and kinds of events to go to so that I can just kind of either walk around if I feel like it or stand at the bar and just kind of, I like, there's so many opportunities. You know, it's not as loud, of course. You can see people more. You can talk to them. They can hear you, all this kind of stuff. They can actually hear your dirty talk, you know, rather than kind of scream your dirty talk at them in the nightclub. But, you know, so, yeah. I mean, I always encourage guys to go outside of the norm if you can, to be a little adventurous, experiment with some other kinds of events. You know, a lot of these charity events and other things like that have a really high concentration of super hot women. And, you know, a lot of them are fun and accomplished and, you know, it's just good hunting grounds. And you have to go out and experiment and find the right ones. But once you do, you can do that. I love hotel bars, too, by the way. I love, you know, as I travel the world, some of the hot hotel bar scenes are just fantastic as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I've had success at hotel bars. Yeah. They're different than kind of just the, you know, standalone bars. And because I'm not the biggest fan myself of nightclubs, although I've fucked some women I've met at nightclubs from time mm-hmm. to time. But I find the highest percentage of women who go there are attention whore and cock teaser types. And I'm not a fan of either one of those two types. And I tell you, when I lived in L.A., my biggest, if I had to take a singular place, was bookstores, man. Amazon has kind of wiped them out nowadays. But, you know, when I would go to, like, Borders or Barnes & Noble, oh, my God, mm-hmm. I'd clean up. I mean, I fucked probably more women than I met at a bookstore than any other public venue I can think of.
Yeah,
because so many single women would go there, and you just see them either sitting or standing reading a book, mm-hmm. and I would just approach them. Yeah, I mean, it was that was probably my best. Another underrated place for me has been grocery stores.
Grocery stores are good. By the way, on the book thing, we used to carry around books on sex addiction with us while we walked around and talked to them. It's a subtle hint, but it tells him exactly who I'm at, who I am. I'm addicted to sex. Is that going to be a problem? Grocery stores. Yeah, grocery stores are awesome. I love grocery stores. I'm there almost every day, you know, doing my own shopping. And then, you know, women are shopping, you know, for something, and hoping that someone like us shows up so they can make me dinner. So they can, you know, serve me wine at their place. So they can follow me out to my car in the parking lot.
Now, one of your later chapters in the book, it says, the importance of your social life in creating abundance with women. Can you briefly elaborate on that?
Well, I always encourage guys to be social. Even guys who say, well, I'm an introvert, or I don't want to be social, Grant. I just want to be able to walk, you know, any place up to a girl, say, like, three words, and do what I want with her, whether it's go on a date, which I don't recommend, but you do what you want, or you're just delaying sex, or go have sex, or whatever. but I always encourage them to be social, and for more than just, you know, women. I mean, it starts with women. Of course, you expose yourself to more women, the more social you are. The more that if you guys are all about taking the lead and being the man and so on, a guy who can command a room, and I don't mean you have to run around the room and be crazy and stuff, but anyone who's confident and can walk into a situation and be comfortable socially, you will have more success in life, period. So, you know, women will find you more attractive. You will meet more people for job prospects, so career, money, everything. I mean, and I can tell you that from doing it both ways, that being super social and meeting a ton of people over the last 20-some-odd years, some of the greatest things that have ever happened to me are purely because I was so social. You know, I mean, I'm only talking to you right now because I was so social. I would have never met who I met and had the opportunities that I've had to be able to, you know, be a coach and create products had I not been out and been social and put myself out there night after night after night after night. So, and I'm not saying you have to go out to bars 7 nights a week, although I did go out 7 nights a week for many years. I went to lots of different events. So that's what I mean. Social life, you know, you could also, if you want to, you know, be a heat-seeking missile and you just want to go where you go alone and you want to walk up the girl sitting at a bar and you want to take her, that's fine too. Nothing wrong with that. You want to go to the coffee store and do that. You don't like going to bars. You want to just operate at the coffee place or the grocery store or the dry cleaners or the mall. I have no problem with that. If that's your lifestyle, go do that. But social is so important, and especially as you get older, you know, just having more friends, more connections. Because once you get the woman thing handled, and you probably will if you're involved in all of this information that we all have out there, they will become less and less important to you. So it's nice to have other things to do, you know, hobbies, friends, social events, stuff, because the woman thing, once you get that handled, they'll just be handled. They'll just be around all the time, and they'll just come to you, and you won't have to try anymore. So all that energy you used to spend doing that, you'll have that extra energy. And so I say just start out by building a great social life, and then you just, you know, you're covered, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, Brent, I want to say I've enjoyed the conversation. Continued success to you. And right now I want you to let my listeners know where they can find you on the World Wide Web, and if you have anything new as far as a book, project, workshop coming up, anything like that, anything you want to let my listeners know.
Okay. Well, first place to go to find out more about me is to the website attracthotterwomen.com, and that's where you can see some free videos, and my new Attract Hotter Women book is there. You can also find me on Facebook. I have lots of programs out there. I just did a new program with Zan called How to Be Dirty and Direct with Women, which was just released a couple days ago. Any information, if you want to know about upcoming programs, coaching, memberships, all that kind of stuff, you can also email me at brent@brentsmithlifestyle.com. And I'll tell you about one more thing. I have an online forum. It's ultimatelifestyletransformation.com, and that's where I house pretty much all my YouTube videos now, and I'm in there a lot, and tens of thousands of posts, and it's awesome. So that's where you can find me.
All righty. Well, again, I wish you nothing but continued success. I didn't know you had a collaboration with Zan. I had a great conversation with him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. A lot of the cool collaborations coming up, so everybody stay tuned. Lots of good stuff.
All right, listeners, that's going to do it for me tonight. My pleasure. My pleasure. Listeners, join me next week. My guess is not confirmed just yet, so I'll keep you posted on my Facebook page, Twitter, and Blog Talk Radio page. But until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will see you next week.